Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, we're going to take a deep look into the Raiders 2022 schedule. Plus, we'll also talk about the AFC West and what kind of difference head coach Josh McDaniels could bring to the table for the Raiders this year and, well, years to come, especially in the red zone, as Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, he'll join the show to talk about all that and a whole lot more. That's coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for Wednesday, May 18th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. As many of you know, today is the official first day of my vacation. First vacation I've had in over 10 years. I think the last time that myself and the wife and any of the family went on a real official vacation, we went to Orlando, and she wasn't the wife then. We got engaged then, but she was not the wife then, and we are actually celebrating our 10-year anniversary coming up later on this year. So, yeah, it's actually been more than 10 years since we've been on a vacation, so very excited about that, but also excited about the year that has been. I mean, Raider Nation, anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a very long time knows that I was in Central Texas. I started out doing the Black Hole Banter podcast before I even started doing this one, and just to see the growth from this podcast, to see the growth of what I've been able to do in my career and how I've been able to take some of the coverage that I brought to the podcast early on in the early days of the Locked On Raiders podcast when I first started, and I'm going into my fifth season right now. I mean, literally, I took over this podcast when John Gruden took over as the Raiders head coach. And that was back in 2017 when, you remember, Jack Del Rio came out after that Chargers game, the final game of the season, and basically fired himself. Soon after that, John Gruden was hired. And soon after that, I was hired to do the Locked On Raiders podcast. And so started out right before the football season, got started in 2018. Matter of fact, one of my most epic episodes was when Khalil Mack, Agent 52, as I was calling him for a long time, had got traded. That was right before the season got started in 2018. And we've been trucking along ever since, and so now it has grown leaps and bounds. It is a huge machine, and also I've made the move to Las Vegas, and I've only been in Las Vegas since July of 2021, and I'll tell you, my experiences that I've had over the last year, and I say year, but it's actually been less than a year, has been incredible, and I could not imagine, as much as I was trying to get to Las Vegas and wanted to be able to be here to cover the Raiders closer than I was from Central Texas, I could never have told you that this was what it was going to be like, and I could never have told you I was going to have as many of experiences as I have. I mean, it has been unbelievable. You know, to be on hand for training camp. That was my first training camp that I covered last season in 2021. Went to Canton, Ohio for Tom Flores going into the Hall of Fame, Charles Woodson going into the Hall of Fame, and knowing that I was there as a member of the media to cover the Raiders specifically. When I was in Central Texas, I would cover the Raiders and I would focus in on things that the Raiders were doing, but I also had to honor my other jobs and make sure that I was really respecting my other job at ESPN Central Texas and be more focused locally there, so I wasn't able to be hands-on like I am here now. And so just to be able to be 100% focused on the Raiders and knowing that that is my number one task has just been incredible. You know, to be a media member and be credentialed all year long, you know, have a season credential where every single home game I was in attendance, and I went to some away games. You know, I went to some preseason games. I mean, there was a lot of traveling. There was a lot of hard work over the past year, but man, it's been so worth it, you know. And then just to know when I first get to town, like my first radio show I do is from the Raiders headquarters, you know, and John Gruden was the head coach at the time, and you know, to ride into the parking lot and the first guy I run into is John Gruden, and he welcomes me into the facility, welcomes me to do a radio show there, and that literally was my first day on the radio at Raider Nation Radio 920 here in Las Vegas. And so, I mean, that's how you're greeted, that's how everything gets started. It has been incredible. It's been a blessing. It's just been something that, I mean, I sit back and I think about it, and my friends call me all the time. It's like, how did you end up in that situation? Do they not know that you're one of the biggest Raider fans that I know, and now you're sitting there covering the team professionally? And it's just, It's unbelievable. It really has. And then being in Las Vegas, the other opportunities that it's opened up, and it has. And believe me, I appreciate every opportunity I get. But knowing that not only am I covering the Raiders, not only am I the program director of four different radio stations, four different sports stations at Lotus Broadcasting, Las Vegas Sports Network, but, you know, I've gotten opportunities now to even do ESPN national radio, you know. And so to have that opportunity has all come from me being here in Las Vegas. So I tell you all the time that I appreciate the way that this podcast is growing. I always appreciate the support of the podcast, you know, how word of mouth has really made this thing really blow up, and of course put a lot of hard work into it. But without the support, man, it just wouldn't be what it is. And so I'll tell you, man, this has been an incredible year, way more than I could ever imagine. Of course, there's been plenty of ups and downs, you know, the roller coaster ride that was the Raiders in 2021. That was also something I never could imagine. But I mean, that's my storyline. That's my story. You know, this is the first year in Las Vegas for me, and everything has happened. John Gruden welcomed me into the facility, and then John Gruden was welcomed out of the facility after all his emails came out, and then the Henry Ruggs situation happened, and, you know, the Damon Arnett situation happened, and then the Raiders find a way to navigate through the season and get 10 wins and go to the playoffs, and I'm on the official, you know, pregame show with JT the Brick, and then I'm on the postgame show with JT the Brick, and, you know, and then even just recently doing a post-draft show with Eric Allen, one of the guys I always looked up to when I was sitting in the Coliseum watching the Raiders play, was watching Eric Allen, number 21, out there across from Charles Woodson. Now I'm doing a radio show with him, you know, and then to be able to do the schedule breakdown on YouTube with Eddie Pascal. I mean, it's just one thing after the other, and just kind of being in lockstep with this team and being able to be up close and personal and see so much. And now, boom, usher in a new era of Raider football with this McDaniels and Ziegler and Champ Kelly new regime, and to see where that's going to go, you know. So I mean, it's just like I've gotten an up close and personal view of everything. I've seen everything and then some. And of course, I still don't know everything that goes on inside the walls of the Raiders organization, because I don't get paid by the team. It's not like I get a check from them, but I'm there enough. You know, I'm there enough to really appreciate every opportunity. Then, of course, every single day on the radio, I get to talk to Raider Nation. I get calls from Raider Nation every day talking about the team. Like, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Again, I've had so many experiences. What I thought that I was coming to Las Vegas for was one thing, and then all of a sudden it turned into something else. So anytime that you hear me say that I'm blessed and I appreciate this or I appreciate that or I appreciate your call or text on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, please believe I'm not playing around. I'm not kidding. I'm so dead serious, because this podcast has really helped me, not only just professionally, but I mean, it's helped me in many ways, you know, just get here where I am and have this opportunity. And so that's a tribute to Raider Nation as well. So not trying to be all sappy and, you know, make people get all in their feelings or anything like that. But I mean, when I tell you how happy I am and how happy the family is to be here in Las Vegas, and yeah, I mean, every day is a challenge, let's put it like that. There's a lot of challenging things about Las Vegas, but man, I mean, this has been such a fun ride. And you know, every day I appreciate, you never know when your last day is going to be. You never know when one job opportunity might not be there anymore. I mean, you just never know, so you always got to really appreciate it. But man, I try to go into every single show and give you everything I got each and every time. And sometimes I'm not, you know, feeling it. Sometimes I'm a little tired, or sometimes this, that, and the other's going on. But man, I try to bring it each and every day. And I know some shows are better than others, but I try to give you everything I got each and every day. And that's why this vacation that I'm going to have with the wife is going to be so relaxing and so appreciative, because man, we both deserve it. You know, she's put up with a lot since we've been here as well, with me being on the grind and doing as much as I have. You know, obviously we don't get as much family time as usual, but she's been a trooper. She supported me 100% of the way, you know, and so that's also been a blessing. So just excited about the opportunities that I've had here in Las Vegas. So just wanted to go ahead, and since this is the first vacation I've gone on, even from the podcast, I mean, this is my fifth season and I've never had a vacation from the podcast. The only time that I've ever missed is usually when something bad has happened, and that's never good. You know, in LA at the Super Bowl, when I didn't do shows then, it's because my laptop got stolen, my other equipment got stolen. I wasn't able to do that. You know, the other time that I missed back in 2020, my son passed away, and that obviously was tragic, and I think I missed 4 or 5 days and then got back at it, you know. And if I miss a day here or there, it's because of a good reason, you know. And it's not, like I said, it's not a good reason that I'm proud of or happy about. It's something bad has happened. So I've been pretty consistent over the last 5 seasons, and I think that Raider Nation appreciates it, and I know that I appreciate the consistency of the show, and makes me really appreciate the passion of Raider Nation, because it's because of you guys. You wake up each and every morning and make this show your first listen each and every day, and of course, I appreciate it so, so much. So coming up in segment number two, going to jump into part one of my conversation with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. We're going to talk all things AFC West. We're all going to talk all things Raiders schedule, Josh McDaniels, and a whole lot more. That's coming up after I tell you about Built Bar. And Built Bar is something I've been telling you about for a very long time. They got a lot of great flavors to choose from, including birthday cake Built Bar Puffs, the marshmallow flavors. They also have brownie batter puffs as well. So those are two Built Bar Puffs, different flavors that they have available for you right now. The brownie batter, if you're someone that back in the day as a kid liked to lick the brownie bowl, this is basically what this tastes like. It tastes like that old brownie bowl that your mom used to make brownies, and you used to see it sitting there, and you wanted to go ahead and reach your finger in there, or just maybe pick up the bowl and lick the bowl. Yeah, you can do this with a Built Bar Puff. It's got that marshmallow flavor in it, and of course birthday cake as well. And the thing about the brownie batter puffs, if you actually buy them right now, you get a free gift along with them. And I won't tell you what the gift is. You're going to have to go ahead and buy it and find out. But they have a gift come along with that. And again, I want to focus in on the birthday cake puff as well. Those are the two features right now. If you want to buy those, you can use the promo code LOCK15. It's all one word, LOCKED15, and you'll save 15% off your order just like that. Again, built.com, promo code LOCK15.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part one of my conversation with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. We're going to talk all things AFC West, going to talk about the Raiders, going to talk about Nathaniel Hackett, little Josh McDaniels conversation. Really fun, intriguing conversation. Even talk about some of the Denver Bronco love that we've been seeing a lot of. And I love his explanation, actually, for a lot of this stuff. Good conversation with Eric Eager. Here's part one of my conversation with Eric from Pro Football Focus. Joining me now on the phone lines to talk a little Raiders schedule, talk about the AFC West, talk about the AFC in general, is Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus on Twitter at @PFF_Eric. And Eric, thanks so much for your time. Just wanted to have you on to talk about, you know, the Raiders schedule and the AFC West. It looks like it's going to be one of the toughest divisions, if not the toughest division in football this year. When you look at it, just from the outside looking in, how do you summarize the AFC West, how it looks right now?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think you can make a claim that every team other than Kansas City got better, right? You know, the Raiders go and get Devontae Adams. They get Chandler Jones. Derek Carr gets a little bit of stability on his contract, even if it was less than initially reported. You look at the Broncos, obviously get Russell Wilson to go, Randy Gregory to rush the passer, and then the Chargers, they go ahead and solidify the guard position in the draft, and they get Khalil Mack and JC Jackson. And, there's a lot to be optimistic about. Kansas City trades Tyreek Hill. They do, I think, supplement the offense pretty well with Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Sky Moore. They get George Karlaftis at defensive end. So, it's a conference, full of just pretty good teams that all got a little bit better. And so, it's going to be a bloodbath, I think, out there.
Yeah, I look at it the same way. And, one of the elements I talked about on the podcast on Tuesday was about the coaches in the AFC West. And I think that Josh McDaniels, even though he wasn't very successful in Denver, I think with his offensive coordinator ability, we know what he was able to do for many years in New England, that should help the Raiders with their biggest Achilles heel, which is the red zone. And, of course, the addition of Devontae Adams. How much do you think Josh McDaniels could help the Raiders instead of cashing in with three a lot of the time? Cash in with actually seven.
I mean, and that's a big one for sure. And you look at the red zone efficiency for the New England Patriots when he was the offensive coordinator, it was obviously very impressive. That team didn't leave a lot of points on the field. So it certainly should help them having some stability there. I know, this isn't going to be what Raiders fans want to hear, but I thought John Gruden, all the stuff off the field, which is horrendous, acknowledged, did a pretty good job with Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. Like you look at Derek Carr's 2018, 2019, 2020, and then 21, he was getting better every single year,
right?
In that offense. And then obviously, you know, down the stretch, like, he was pretty gutsy. I thought he, with the coaching change and everything, and obviously regressed him a little bit after Gruden left. I think the question becomes, can McDaniels live up to what Gruden was building with Carr? I think Adams really helps the situation. I think getting Waller back healthy helps the situation. Offensive line's not very good, and that's a division that can rush the passer. So, you know, with Carr, I think I'll temper expectations a little bit, but it goes without saying that the last 3 years as a starter, he's been a game above 500.
Right. He's continued to get better and better. And you're right. John Gruden did have him trending up, continuing to trend up year after year. And, you know, Eric, you mentioned something. You mentioned the offensive line. And everywhere where I see the Raiders ranked, I see them ranked, you know, the fourth best team in the AFC West. I hear that Derek Carr is the fourth best quarterback. And this is a team that was 10 wins a season ago. They went to the playoffs with all the adversity they had to deal with. The offensive line, is that the element that's holding people back when they look at and analyze that division from saying, yeah, I think the Raiders are going to be better because of that hole on that offensive line?
I think it's partially that, but I also think it's partially the fact that the Raiders, I think the third straight year, were not as good as their record indicated. So last season, if you look, they scored 374 points. They gave up 439 points. So if you look at that, like, that's actually like a 7-10 point differential.
Right.
The year before in 2020, they, were outscored by their opponents, finished 8-8. That was more like a 7-9 score differential. And then in 2019, when they were 7-9, a pop-up team, they had the point differential of a 5-11 team, right? So for consistently the Raiders, and this is why, the betting markets have always been so low on them. And if you bet the Raiders over the last couple of years, you've had some success. Is that the people just don't believe in them from a fundamental perspective. They've done well in close games when people don't believe that close games generally translate from year to year. That's where I think that the initial skepticism is with the Raiders. I think in addition to that, it is the offensive line. I mean, I think Colt Miller has crafted a pretty good career for himself. Everywhere else, though, there are question marks. And Carr is a good enough quarterback. I think this is where he separates himself from like the Kirk Cousins and the Ryan Tannehills of the world, where he can elevate a bad offensive line. But you would obviously prefer to have a better offensive line than that. Now, be that as it may, Renfro and Adams are players that can get open in the first 2.5 seconds of a play, which I think significantly reduces the effect of a poor offensive line.
I like it. That's a great breakdown and something that's pretty eye-opening. It makes a lot of sense right there, and that's why we have you on, to break it down and give us the good nuggets like that, because I hadn't even thought about it like that. Again, we're talking with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus here. Talking about, how about Nathaniel Hackett? He's been getting a lot of love in Denver. Of course, the Broncos go out and make the move for Russell Wilson. They're getting a ton of love there. The Broncos are in every power ranking. They're rated really high. What are your thoughts on Hackett as a first-time head coach and a long-time offensive coordinator?
Yeah, look, Hackett's career is interesting because you have, the time in Green Bay where Rodgers elevated himself from kind of a guy on the downswing to an MVP for two straight years. But, he didn't call plays there.
Right.
So there's a little bit of a reduction. You go back to Jacksonville, he called plays for that 2017 Jaguars team that made the AFC title game. In addition to that, he was the quarterback's coach in Blake Bortles' second year. Blake Bortles threw 35 touchdown passes. And that's not a great quarterback,
right?
But it's a quarterback that can at least be productive. So I think it's positive there. The thing that I think you have to worry about is the style of play that Russell Wilson has. So when Rodgers, people forget that, even though the Packers went 13-3 in the first year under Matt LaFleur, Rodgers still struggled. That was a team built on defense, a running game, and winning close games. It wasn't until 2020 where he finally ascended. And when you look at time to throw, so a metric where, Aaron Rodgers was taking 3 seconds to throw, he was leading the league in throwaways, that continued into year one with Matt LaFleur. It wasn't until year two where his time to throw dropped by about a third of a second, and he was really throwing that ball on rhythm. And as good as Russell Wilson is, he's another quarterback that freelances a little bit too much. So, I wonder if, in year one, does he get Russell Wilson to hit that back foot and throw the ball in rhythm? Or does Russell Wilson sort of play out of structure? Because I don't know if that offense is terribly conducive to even a talented quarterback. And Wilson is very much that, playing outside of structure. because if they do that, I think they're going to struggle a little bit, not to mention the situation that Jerry Jeudy might be in with his legal troubles.
Right. No, that's an element as well. And, yeah, I know that a lot of the times that Russell Wilson got hit in Seattle, it wasn't just because the offensive line broke down. It was because Russell Wilson had that ball in his hands a long time, always trying to make plays, which looked great on highlights, right? when it comes through, it looks great on highlights. But when it doesn't, well, then it's all bad. So that leads me to the Chargers and Brandon Staley. And he's a guy who gets a ton of love because, well, he goes for it on fourth down. I mean, you know, he does some things that we only see in Madden. What are your thoughts on Staley, and how big of a year could this be for him where he has to prove that he really is the really great head coach that a lot of people are kind of coining him as already?
You know, I think that he also brings that Fangio defense that we all love. Mm-hmm. Now, he took it to a wild extent last year where they were so gooey against the run that, you know, it cost them a chance at the playoffs in the Raiders game. Yep. Where they could just simply not stop the running game. You know, they go out and they get Sebastian Joseph Day. They get Khalil Mack, who has always set a good edge. And that the important part of that defense, is, you know, you want to be able to play the two high shells. You want to be able to put six men in the box. But the defensive line has to be sturdy against the run without that extra player. And I think that they've gone a little bit, you know, into that direction and trying to make that work. They also have cover men who can really play, you know, in Derwin James and now J.C. Jackson, Asante Samuel Jr., and so on and so forth. So I think the defense will be improved. The question then becomes with a guy like Justin Herbert, who, you know, has been nothing short of fantastic through a couple of years, can Justin Herbert continue to make the plays on late down and pressure situations? You know, it's so funny to talk about this because, you know, early in Carson Wentz's career, he was making so many plays out of structure on third down. And the question becomes, like, is that sustainable? It was not sustainable for Wentz. Can it be sustainable, you know, for Herbert? I remember that, you know, that last game of the season where almost all the plays he was making, which were all amazing, all with his big arm, were on the third and fourth downs. And it's like, you know, you'd wish a quarterback would be more efficient on early downs so you don't actually get the third down and have to play those situations out. That's the real question for Herbert. In his rookie year, he was great under pressure. Last year, he was great when he had a clean pocket. So he sort of trended in the right direction there. But can he be great on early downs? And can the Chargers quit this whole thing where they're great and their numbers all look good, but they somehow can't win?
So that was part one of my conversation with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. You can find him on Twitter at @PFF_Eric, breaking down the AFC West. And, of course, it's Pro Football Focus, so they do it from an analytic point of view. But I think Eric has a lot of good conversation right there. Coming up in segment number three, it'll be part two of my conversation. We'll dive into the Raiders' schedule. We'll start off talking about the schedule and how he breaks it down and how he's pretty optimistic about the Raiders schedule. That's all coming up in segment number three of the show after I tell you about betonline.net. They continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. You can get all the latest odds, news, sports developments, NBA playoffs, MLB, fights, even NFL futures. Betonline.net is your continued source for all your sports wagering information from live betting, playoffs, esports, and a whole lot more. Go to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device. Learn about the trends and all the action. Betonline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. It's time to jump into part two of my conversation with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Talked a lot about the AFC West, talked about the Denver Broncos, talked about Josh McDaniels. Did a lot of that in segment number two. Now I want to talk about the schedule. Want to really focus in on the schedule. And believe it or not, Eric actually thinks that there's some parts of this schedule that is pretty favorable for the Silver and Black. So let's go ahead and jump into part two of my conversation with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus on Twitter at @PFF_Eric. Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, it really is. It's going to be a fun division. I'm excited about seeing how it all shakes out. Every team in the division is going to battle from top to bottom, from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. And that leads me to the schedule. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about the schedule and the Raiders schedule in particular. The first 5 weeks of the season, they have all three division teams. That could be an advantage or it could be a disadvantage, depending on how it shakes out. But when you look at their opening five games before they hit the bye week, what are your thoughts?
You know, they go to Los Angeles. You know, that game, I think the Raiders are going to have a sizable home field advantage in that game, like they did on the Thursday night game this past year. I think it was a Monday night game.
Yep.
This past year, where, you know, you have a lot of Raiders fans from the Los Angeles days that are still fans So that's, you know, a good thing. You know, they get the Cardinals when the Cardinals don't have DeAndre Hopkins. So that's a good draw. You know, the Titans, I think, are maybe a little bit overrated. And then they get the Broncos at home. Like, and a sneaky part of it too, you know, they get Kansas City, you know, on a, you know, on a night game. That's a lot better, in my opinion, than playing the Chiefs in a noon Central time game, right, where yep. the Raiders are playing at 10 a.m. their own time. So they get a decent draw there. So while the opponents are all tough, I actually think that they're, you know, in a good spot as far as, you know, when they catch these teams. And then from there, you know, they get the Texans at home, you know, the Saints, who are I don't think are going to be as strong. And then they go on the road to face the Jaguars, which I know is a 1 o'clock Eastern game, but that's a game the Raiders should very well win. So, you know, I think the schedule plays out okay for them in a division where a lot of the other teams are working with a really tough schedule. I think the Raiders draw okay here.
I do too. And it's funny you mentioned that week five game against Kansas City in Kansas City, that Monday night football game. I feel like at some point the Raiders consistently have to figure out how to win in Kansas City, which is what every team wants to do, you know, because the Chiefs have been the cream of the crop from the AFC West for the longest time. So I felt when I broke down the schedule, I said, okay, this is the one time I think that they could win. They're going to win this week five. And then I looked at their schedule and they don't play Kansas City again till the end of the season. And I really think, similar to last season, that week 18 game is going to matter. And it's at Allegiant Stadium. And I think that it's going to either be, you know, possibly a division title, possibly a berth in the playoffs. And so I said that that's a game that the Raiders have to win, which means that they'd have to sweep the Chiefs, which is very unlikely. But because of the separation, I felt like there's, if any chance to do it, that would be it, because it's week five and then week 18. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, they go four of their last six are at home. And in fact, one of the road games is in Los Angeles again, right, where they could have some measure of home field advantage. The Rams fans are better than the Chargers fans there, right. You know, not to mention a Seahawks game, which should be easy to win as well on Thanksgiving weekend. So I agree with you. I think the tricky thing is you get the Niners. By then, the Niners are either going to be, a, you know, the way the Niners are, a contender in the NFC or a five-win team. That's the only two possibilities for the right. Niners. So that second-to-last game is going to be, you know, is going to be what it is. Now, the tricky thing, you know, Patrick Mahomes has lost to the Raiders, but it was at home.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes has never lost a game indoors. So, wow. You know, that's a tricky one when you look at January 8th. You know, he's just somebody who, you know, when you throw those moon balls and everything, it's a lot easier to throw them indoors. So, you look, I think the schedule plays out favorably for the Raiders. That last game is probably the hardest one they have in the last six. Mm-hmm. Again, four of which are at home. But it plays out nice for them to make the playoffs for the second straight year. Now, again, it's a tough one. They're, I think, 6-1 in the betting markets to win the division.
Right.
But if it comes down to that last game, they're going to be a lot better than 6-1 to win that game.
It's going to be interesting. It really is. I mean, it's so funny as we, you know, try to break down the schedule in May, you know, what it could possibly look like. We don't know the 53-man roster yet. We have an idea, but we don't know exactly. So it should be. And then, of course, the juggernaut is you got an 18-week, 17-game season. Matter of fact, final question for you. As far as depth goes, when you have 17 games, how important is it that you're able to draft, develop, have guys that you can rely on that might not necessarily be starters, but guys that, you know, a guy goes down for a play or a series or a game or two, you can slide a guy in there and feel comfortable that he's there, especially with the 17-game season.
It's big. And I think that that's why, you know, that's why the season's so important for the Raiders, right? They've gone out of their way to go all in. If you count their draft picks, next season they only have 38 players under contract, 2023, and they only have $24 million in cap space. So essentially, they're above, you know, they're over the cap after you know, consider filling those positions out. This is the year for the Raiders. Like, they're going all in, you know, to win this year. And, you know, and they are somewhat of a top heavy team. They really only have, I think, about, was it 9 players who are making over $6 million a year. Everybody else is sort of more of a stars and scrubs, you know, aspect to this team. Right. So this is a big year for them. Depth is going to be a huge issue. And ultimately, you know, it comes down to luck. Is your quarterback healthy? Is your are your best players are the you know, Max Crosby's and the Chandler Jones's and the Devontae Adams healthy? And yeah, can you get a pop up season like they got out of their secondary last year? I know Hayward's gone, but they got pretty good years out of you know, out of the secondary players, you know, sort of in that secondary, and it boosted that defense that has historically not been pretty good. So, yeah, it's a good question. I think in 17 weeks, you're right. I mean, it's the teams that stay the healthiest. As the Bengals and the Rams making the Super Bowl last year showed us.
Right, exactly. Well, that's why they play the games, right? It'll all play out at some point, and we got a while to talk about it before the games get started. But, Eric, this is fantastic stuff. Great breakdown. Love the breakdown of the AFC West and, of course, the Raiders as well. You got anything coming out on Pro Football Focus that that anybody needs to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, we have some projections for the first round edge class, which is coming up here. I know the Raiders didn't participate in the first round, the second round this year, but there's some interesting work there on Kayvon Thibodeau, Jermaine Johnson, guys like that, using some of the systems that the NFL teams use to do some of their analyses. So go on PFF.com and look out for that. And I host the PFF forecast every Sunday and every Wednesday on PFF.
There you go. And you can find Eric's work at PFF underscore Eric. It's Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Thank you so much for your time. This has been fantastic stuff. I really appreciate you and look forward to having you on again.
Thanks for having me.
So there it was right there. Really good conversation. I enjoyed that conversation. I really did. And it's funny because I took that little piece where he was talking about the Denver Broncos and then talking about the Raiders and their point differential. And I played that on the radio on Tuesday when I did my last live show on Raider Nation Radio 920. And Raider Nation wasn't buying it. They weren't buying the reason that he said why they're ranked at fourth in the AFC West. But I'll tell you, with that point differential thing, that is something. You know, I thought that was a big deal. But again, I mean, it's all about what you think and what you want to believe. But it made sense, especially from a Pro Football Focus point of view. So hopefully you enjoyed that conversation like I enjoyed having that conversation. Coming up tomorrow and the rest of the week, I have a lot of best of shows that I'm planning on doing. Max Crosby, Chandler Jones, Devontae Adams. You'll hear those conversations that I had from earlier in the offseason when they signed their contracts. Matter of fact, that's the one that you'll hear on tomorrow's show. So hopefully you enjoy that. I have myself and Eric Allen. I have myself and Eddie Pascal. Lester Hayes, I got that interview on the way too. That was an epic interview that we had on Raider Nation Radio 920. I'm going to just try to bring you some really good stuff that I'm really proud of over the next few days until I can get back to Las Vegas and actually hold it down and do a live show. And of course, that'll be back on Wednesday next week. I'll be back to having brand new shows just like I normally do. But again, enjoying a little bit of R&R, a little vacation, a little relaxation with the wife. So hopefully you understand. Hopefully you enjoy. And we'll have this show again tomorrow. It'll be up as always, super early. Appreciate all the support. Take care of your family. Take care of yourself. Love on your family. And most importantly, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.